Amen. You know, Brad, you sold a pretty serious bill of goods to get me out of here at 11:30 and only give me 4 minutes to preach. Just saying. And if he wasn't, and if he wasn't sharing such good stuff about the name of Jesus, I might fault him a little more. But it's truth. It's good stuff, and we're gonna be looking today at something else that the name of Jesus gives power to, and how we can see the power of Jesus. And something else too. So I'm very excited. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2. When Pastor asked me to preach, he said, you can preach on whatever you want. He said, just don't have Kyle shooting a bow and arrow across the stage. That was his one requirement. In youth, we're doing a series, archery-themed series. And to start, I had Kyle shoot an arrow across the stage into a target. You know, they were concerned. You know, are you sure you want Mr. Kyle doing that? And I said, it's a 10-foot shot that he's trying to hit. I mean, the dude hits deer on the move at 30 yards. I think he's got it. But anyways, so he said, don't do that, but you don't have to do my series. And I went, perfect, because I don't really like following in Pastor's series, because he has an idea where he's going, and I don't want to derail that. He usually has an idea where he's going. Brad's looking at me like, I don't know. Usually has an idea where he's going, but the more that I thought about what to speak on and what I felt the church needed to hear and what God was speaking to me, I kept coming back to Acts chapter 2. And so I texted Pastor and told him I wanted to preach there, because the last thing I want to do is preach on a passage that he's going to preach on in a few weeks. He's going to do a better job anyways, and then it's going to hurt my ego. And so he said, I'll skip that passage. I'll skip that passage. But we're in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to be camping at the end of the chapter. We're going to start in verse 47 and work our way back, looking from verses 42 on. But we're going to start in verse 47. And as I was thinking about what to speak on, I realized there was something that I'd been having a conversation with people about several times. I talked to my wife about it, and she agreed. Yes, that is something that we've been talking about a lot lately. And the topic has been vital community. And I mean vital community in the community of our family of faith. And how we need each other. I need you guys, and you guys need me, and we need each other, that we need each other, that God created not individual Christians, but God created the church. He created us to work together. And I've had so many conversations about this lately, and I'm just going to share a couple of them with you. On Wednesday nights after high school service, we're all starving, and so several of us go out to eat, we eat at only the finest places, like McDonald's and Taco Bell and all those places that are still open at 9:30 at night on a Wednesday. And a couple weeks ago, we went to McDonald's and we ate and we were leaving. And as we were leaving, there was an older gentleman sitting by himself at one of the patio tables there at McDonald's. If you've been, you know what I'm talking about. Outside by himself eating dinner at 10 o'clock at night, 10:30 at night. And as we left, we're all polite gentlemen and we wished him to have a good evening. And we were out talking by our cars about the things that boys talk about, bodily functions. That's what we were talking about. It wasn't any vital conversation happening, but that's what we were talking about, because that's what boys talk about. If you're ever wondering, what do boys talk about? Doesn't matter the age, that's what they're talking about. But we're discussing this, and this truck pulls up, and it's the guy that was sitting by himself. And he started to have this conversation with us at 10:30 at night on a Wednesday, and he kept talking. And he kept talking, and he kept talking, and he kept talking, and he kept talking. And I'm thinking in my mind, like, how can I turn this conversation to Jesus so that, like, you know, we can hit a home run here? You know, I really wanted to get my car and drive away, but I just preached that night on making time for people. And I felt that was the wrong move to make in front of a youth and a youth worker to, like, be like, sorry, not making time for you. But I'm waiting for an opportunity, and I can't find one. But you will be proud of your deacon of students, Kyle. He squeezed Jesus in there. I mean, it was a tight shot, but he squeezed Jesus in there, and instantly the guy's conversation changed. And he started talking about God's word and how powerful God's word is. And he's saying, you know, I've read through the Bible several times, cover to cover, and every time God shares something different with me, and I believe it. The message doesn't change, but the application changes. And so you can read the same passage, and the message is the same, but it affects you differently because you're in a different place in life. And I'm like, I can get behind that. I can agree with this. And then he said, but if you look at most Christians, they just go to their pastor, get the answer, and the pastor's crooked anyways, and Brad will agree, pastors are typically crooked anyways, and they never look for it themselves, and so that's why I don't go to church. And I thought, ooh, don't talk about my pastor. Don't talk about him. Our pastor, second to none, preaches God's word, tells you where he's going in God's word, and says, look at it on your own, because don't just take my word for it. Trust Jesus. I mean, he is second. I'm sorry, I'm spitting. I'm hungry. I'm good. Where's that water at? We used to have water up here. Nothing? Oh, that's right. I'll deal. Perfect. Thank you. I'm nervous too because I changed my sermon this morning in the shower, so it's... Carrie said, you've been in there a while. I said, I don't know what I'm preaching on this morning. I'm just waiting until I figure something out. So first, don't pick on my pastor. Our pastor's great. But second, don't pick on my church. Don't talk about my church. And I asked him, I said, sir, you say you're a Christian. You say you've read the Bible, and yet you want nothing to do with the church. And tell me, how do you reconcile that to the fact that the Bible clearly says that we should not forsake the gathering together of believers? We should not give up on the church. We should not give up on getting together. How can you reconcile those two? And he got very nervous very fast. Well, I can't quote it to you. I just quote it to you, sir. I just quote it to you. How can you say that and give up on the church? I said, not every church is perfect. Every church is made up of imperfect people, so not a single church is perfect. But God created the church. He created it for a reason. And we don't give up on it. And then we said, we all go to First Baptist Church. You're welcome to come with us Sunday. Is he here today? I don't think so. I didn't see him. Probably not. If so, I hope he's here. I hope he comes. Because listen, my stepdad is the same way. My stepdad does not trust a preacher, does not trust the church, but he reads the Bible through at least once a year. That knowledge is needed in this church. It really is. His gifts are needed in the church. I hope he comes. I disagree with that idea that the church is not worth it anymore because the Bible shares a completely different picture of what community looks like. That's not the only conversation I've had. I've talked to people who say, I'm not going to go to church, my brother being one, because I can download a sermon and listen to it in my pajamas. Why would I go to church? Because the sermon is not the reason why we go to church. I love coming here because our pastor preaches the word. But if it was just me and him preaching at me, I would not come. The reason I come is for these people and this community and this family. That's why I come to this church. That's why we started coming to this church before I was on staff. And that's why if any point I ever get an inkling of, is there another church out there for me? I instantly remember how good this family is to me. And I go, I don't want to leave here. I come because of this family. And so I told my brother that. I don't want him to go to church to get a sermon. I want him to go to church to find a family. That's what my brother needs. My brother needs Jesus, and he needs people pointing to Jesus to help him find Jesus. So what we're going to look at today is we're going to look at community. We're going to look at family. We're going to look at what God created the church to be. And let me tell you, what God created the church to be takes a lot of time and effort. What God created the church to be means a lot of sacrifice in our busy lives. We are busy. I am busy. In addition to church responsibilities, and it's not a 40-hour a week job, I have two kids that are constantly doing things, and I have family that are all over this area, like blood family that I'm having to spend time. I mean, we are out most nights of the week, and we are busy. We really are very busy. But let me tell you something. If you want the church to be what God created the church to be, it takes time. The question is not if it takes time. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. The question is it worth it? Is the time we give up for the church, is the time we give up to be in community, to have vital time with each other, is it worth it? Let's take a look in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, this is one of my favorite passages in Acts because it involves food like three times. But I do love this picture of what the church was and what the church could be. So let's start in verse 47. It's talking about the church. The church was praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the outcome of what we're talking about. The outcome of doing church, the way God called us to do church, the way that God implemented the church, the outcome is for us to give God praise in all that we do. I want that. The outcome is that the people around us, lost people around us, will look at us and we will have favor with them. They will look at us and go, those are good people. I want that. And the outcome is that the Lord added people to their number daily. That God saved people daily and added them to the church. I want that. I look at those three things and I said, there is nothing you could ask me to do that I would say is not worth it if that's the outcome. Are you guys with me? There is nothing that you can say if I have to do A and B and then C is I love God, people notice that, and they come to faith in Christ, sign me up. Sign me up. So what do they do? Let's jump back to verse 42. Again, this is the church. And when I say church, I mean the people in the church, not the organization of the church. I don't mean the building of the church. I mean the people who make up believers in Christ. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. I struggled this week as I was trying to figure out how to wrap my mind around what to say and how to say and what God would want to share. And really, if we look, the reason why I struggled is the same reason I hate math. I understand it. Why do you need me to explain it? I don't understand. It's just the way it is. In here, we look at this, and what does the church need? The church needs the church to spend time with the church. I don't understand how else we could explain it. In order for the church to be the church, they has to be the church. It's just so silly. I mean, we have to be together. We have to spend time together. And let me tell you guys, this time in Sunday, as wonderful it is not enough. Fellowship alone. We get people saying all the time, you stop the fellowship time, too short. I want more time. I agree. 10 seconds is too short to fellowship with anybody. I agree. And if that time is the only time you fellowship with us here as a family, you are missing out big time. Even if we had 30 minutes every week, 30 minutes, 30 minutes. We're going to set aside 30 minutes, and it's just going to be fellowship time, which we do. It's just spread out. You got to get here early, hang out, stay late. That's what we do all the time. Even if we did that, there is no way you could get to the point where you are actually sharing life with somebody in 30 minutes a week. There just isn't. What the believers in this church did is they spent time together daily. Now, some of y'all are panicking. Y'all are thinking, I got to make time for y'all every day? Like, I struggle sometimes getting up to come to church on Sunday mornings, and they're like, but they spent time together daily. They spent time together all the time. They shared everything they had because they understood that the church is a powerful thing, that the church is a powerful thing, that when God instituted the church, he made it to be an extremely powerful thing, and they said, we got to spend time together for that to happen? Let's do it. They understood that the church was not just something to be a part of, something to enjoy from time to time, but they understood the church to be vital as breathing. These people, when you look around, actually let's stop. I want you to look around and see who's here. I want you to just take some time. I'm not kidding. I'm going to keep rambling for a few seconds here. I want you to look around and see who's here. These people God has placed around you for you to spend time with, to encourage, to grow, to challenge, for them to challenge you and to challenge you. I mean, these people are here for a reason. And yet, I think we get so busy that we don't spend time together. And let me tell you this. The busyness that we have, I firmly believe, are a series of hurdles that Satan has deceived us into erecting ourselves. He has deceived us into making ourselves busy. He has deceived us into saying, these things are more important than community. And I think he has done it because this is what's happening in community. Signs, wonders, people getting saved. Satan has deceived us into thinking we have to do all these things. We cannot make time for each other because if he can separate us, he can defeat us. Another great picture that we see that the churches, that Christians are described as, are soldiers. One of my favorite passages in Ephesians chapter 6, the God's armor. The armor of God. I was just having them backwards. The armor of God, we're described as Roman soldiers. Now let me tell you something. A Roman soldier isn't scary by himself. If a Roman soldier marched into a town, no one will be afraid. What they're afraid of is the legions of troops that are coming behind that single soldier. We are powerful together. We are powerful because of what Jesus has done in us and through us. That's where our power comes from. And yet we build these hurdles. We put these things in our way so that we can't spend time together. I was talking to a very beautiful woman this morning, and I was discussing our plans for after church. That would be my wife. If you were wondering what beautiful woman is speaking of, I hope you would understand that's my wife. And I love my wife. God gave me my wife. Gave me a wife who is different than I am, who challenges me in areas, and I challenge her in areas. And we're talking about lunch and what we can do, and we were talking about, I said, these are things that we need to do. We need to be making time for X, Y, and Z. And she says, we do enough. we already do that. Yes, we already do that. Thank you. Listen, I love when y'all talk. If y'all have questions, is Miss Betty here today? I'm missing Miss Betty. I mean, she keeps me on point. Like, but I think that's some of our thoughts on it. Like, I already do all those things. I'm already making time for people. I'm already carving out all this time. What else do you want from me? And trust me, I get there sometimes, okay? I signed up to work with middle schoolers and high schoolers, okay? Lord, save me. Lord, help me. You know, there are times when I think, I am doing enough. Enough. Yes. And if we think that to ourselves on a long-term basis, I'm not saying momentary. Momentary it happens. But if we think to ourselves on a long-term basis, I am doing enough. We have missed the point altogether. That's like saying, Charlie Ann, I have already played with you 3 days this week. I have done enough. I don't have time to play with you. Listen, I don't ever want to get to that point as a father where I find an excuse to get out of spending time with my kids or my wife or my parents. I don't want to get to that point. I don't think any of us in here do. Because we understand that this is family and you make time for family. Guys, this is our family. We make time for this family. I hope you understand the importance that this is. This is huge. Jesus, if you're a Christian, if you've trusted Christ, Jesus has saved us, has loved us, has forgiven us, has gifted us, has brought us together so that we can share that love with those around us. That's important. That's huge. And I hope that you look at that and you go, okay, that is important. So what do I do? Where do I go from here? Yeah, definitely. Where do I go from here? Where do I go from here? What do I do from here? Let me tell you guys, if we ever get to the point where we think we've done enough, we've missed the point altogether. When we look at this church, when we look at what they were doing, when they were giving them of themselves, everything they were doing was not just for themselves. When you serve, it's not just for yourself. When you make time for community, it's not just for yourself. It's for others. I was talking to a 10th grader this week that I teach on Tuesdays. And he told me, he goes, I already know Jesus loves me. That's all my youth group wants to talk about is how Jesus loves me. And so I'm just not going to go so that I don't get in the way so that other people can find out Jesus loves them. I said, but if you already get it, you have to go. You have to go to share with others. In his mind, it was like, I've already done enough for me, you know? I think it's the same way we can get. I've already got this. When the rich were giving everything they had to the poor, that protected them from sins of selfishness. They gave willingly because that meant that they weren't going to be worried about being selfish. I just got to give without question. Giving. Yes. To my church family, yes, giving. The poor who were receiving that didn't have to worry about the sins of want. Didn't have to worry about the sins of theft. They didn't have to worry about those things because they were taking care of each other. And so I encourage you guys, what do you do? I want you guys to think about, what can I do? What can I do to have more community? When we look at what the early church did, there are four things they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to sharing meals. Amen, amen. And they devoted themselves to praying. They devoted themselves to those things. I think when they list those four things, I think we need to look at ourselves and go, what area am I lacking in? I think when we come to fellowship, I think we spend a lot of time fellowshipping, but maybe not. For me, when I look at these things, meals is not one that I struggle in, sharing meals with people or fellowship. But sometimes the apostles' teaching. Sometimes I just want to spend time and hang out and love on somebody. And I don't spend a whole lot of time devoting time together in community to the apostles' teaching. The great news is that our church, that our staff on church are already developing things and have put things in place to help you devote yourself to the apostles' teaching together as a church. This is one of them. It's good. Thumbs up. You're here. There we go. You're here. There we go. Check. Sunday school is another one. Sunday school is in place so that you can devote yourselves to the apostles' teaching in fellowship with other believers. Go to Sunday school. It's great. I love going to Sunday school. I teach a college class. I love going there and hanging out with them. We also have our boot camps, which is a little bit more of a time commitment. It's an entire Saturday. But we go deep and we learn a lot and we love being together with each other. And finally, circles. We started doing these small groups that meet in homes for several weeks in a row. Ron's doing one right now on the issues that divide. There's several that are coming up. One on basic beliefs of Christianity. One's on world religions and cults. There's all kinds of topics that we're doing. And the reason why we're doing them is so we can not just learn, but learn together, gather together, and build off of what God's doing in our lives. And so if you're struggling with, you want to find more apostles' teachings, if you want to focus more on that first one because you think there's probably some time lacking there, do that. Do those things. Any of those things. There are other times when I leave this church and I don't want to see nobody. I want to get food and I want to go home and I don't want to fellowship with anybody. And that's okay at times. I think we all need times where we need to go by ourselves. But if you find that you do that a lot and you don't spend a whole lot of time in fellowship with other people here in this church, all those things are also great examples of ways that you can get together with other believers. But take somebody out to lunch. Look around here. There are some interesting characters in this church that I'm sure would love to have lunch with you. Invite them out to lunch. If you don't plan on staying next week, change those plans and stay next week afterwards and have fellowship lunch with us and just spend time talking with us. Or if that 5 seconds isn't enough during fellowship time, stay late. Come early. Hang out. There are people here. Trust me. Anytime you come in the sanctuary from about 9 o'clock on, there is somebody in the sanctuary to talk to you. Spend time fellowshipping with each other. Sharing meals, we think sharing meals like, isn't that fellowship? It's not. That was sharing needs. That was really, I mean, their main need was food, was eating. Share what you have with others. Look for ways to do that. Whether it's time, whether it's resources, whatever it is, share with others. And finally, the last one was prayer. The pastor said this, and I believe that we have, not just as this church, but the American church, we have put prayer on the back burner. There are other things we can do that are much more tangible and are much more immediate results-driven than prayer. Pastor has a prayer group that meets every Sunday before Sunday school. What time is it? At 8:30 they meet? I have to ask because I don't come. I don't come. He devotes that time every week to pray. And there's like three or four that show up. How many show up there? About three or four. You know, that's a time when people come together and pray. Sunday school is another time when people come together and pray. Meeting in here, there's times we come together and pray. I'll tell you, in our youth ministry next door, it is so exciting when I look up and I see kids praying, when I see adults and kids praying, because honestly, that's where our power comes from. It's coming from God's leading in the Holy Spirit through prayer. Community is important. We understand that. We know that. It's simple. God created us as creatures of community. He created Adam, and that was the first time he said something wasn't good. Not because it was a man, ladies. Calm down. Men are good too. But because man was alone. He said, that's not good. God created us in His image. And I think one of those aspects of His image is community. I mean, our God, the one true God, is in three persons. I mean, God is a community by Himself. I think that's part of our godly nature is to need community. We need community. God has blessed you all with this community. And there are great people in this room. And some not so-sos, like Kyle, you know. But no, we've got great people in this room that want to pour into you, want to love on you. If you feel like you need that, join a Sunday school class. That's a great first place to start. It's wide open. But there are also other things that are going on in our church where people understand the need for community and they've started things. There's a guy's breakfast at 8:30 at Brown's every Friday morning. If you need community, that's a great place to go. My wife needed another form of community, so she started a young mom's group that meets at our house on the third Tuesday of the month. If you're a young mom and you're like, listen, I understand why people want to drown their kids. I understand. I need somewhere to go and talk and just with no children, yeah, there's no children, no husbands. Like, you just, yeah. The only children in the house are ours, and they're upstairs with me. If you're a young mom, you're like, I need somebody to talk to. I have a spiritual question I need to talk about, or I want to rant about something, whatever. Come talk to Carrie. She's here today. She works every other weekend, but she's here today. Come and talk with her. Or if you say, you know what, we need fellowship, we need community. None of those work for me, but I understand the need, and I want to start something new. Come and find me or Brad. We'll help resource you. We'll help you set it up. We'll get it taken care of. Community is important. It's vital. It's needed. And when we work together, when we live together, when we spend time together, we are the army that God created us to be. I want to see verse 47 lived out here in this church, where we praise God for everything that's going on. That people in this community look at us and they see there were people who love Jesus and who love them. And that God does the work of adding numbers to our church daily, or numbers to the church in general daily, that God saves people daily because of us exhibiting the love of Christ in our community. I have one more thing I want to share, and then we'll wrap up. We've talked a lot about the love of Jesus and the need for the love of Jesus, and Pastor Brad shared earlier about what that name means. And I just wanted to share one more thing with you. I think sometimes we can hold on to community and ignore Jesus. We can even come to church for our whole lives and never know Jesus. I had a rough week a few weeks ago, and I reached out to several here in the church, and they loved and took care of me. They really did, and I needed that. But there have been other times where I've had a need, and the church has let me down. You know, I've gone to talk to somebody in the church, and they've let me down. In fact, when I was in 10th grade, I was going to get baptized, and I went to a teacher I had who was a Christian man who I loved and who I knew loved me, and I told him I'm getting baptized. I really want you there. And then I got baptized, and he wasn't there. And the next week, he asked how my weekend went. I told him I got baptized, and he told me, he said, you know what? I messed up. I let you down. And that's going to happen. But Jesus will never let you down. This church is made up of imperfect people, chiefly me, as somebody who's very imperfect. And I'm going to let you down, and I'm going to make mistakes, and I'm going to say things that I shouldn't say, and I'm not going to say things I should say. I'm going to do things I shouldn't do, and I'm not going to do things I should do. It's just going to happen. And I'm going to let you down, and we're all going to let each other down. But let me tell you something. If this community was built on us, it would definitely fail. And that's why we build it on Jesus. Because Jesus' love doesn't change. Jesus' nature doesn't change. It's perfect. It's complete. It's enough. In those moments where I have chosen sin, where I choose sin, where I deserved hell, Jesus' love was perfect. In those moments where I needed Jesus, which is every moment, but in those moments where I realized I needed Jesus, He was there, unchanging. And at the end of this life, if all I rested my hope on was a church and people, that love would be temporary. Because I would leave this life and I would spend eternity not just away from this church, I would spend eternity away from my God in hell. But when I base my hope and my trust in Jesus, it's permanent. If you've never experienced the love of Christ, if you've never entered into a relationship with Jesus, it's not because of anything that He's waiting on. He's waiting on you to make that decision to obey what He's asked you to do, to love Him and to follow Him. And if that's something you want to do, awesome. Let me tell you what to do. Number one, if you want to follow Jesus, the first thing you can do is you can come down this aisle. We're going to sing a song of invitation. That invitation is an invitation for you to obey what God is doing in your life. If you want to do that right now, come down. When we sing, come down, and I'll pray with you. There's nothing I can say that's going to change it. Jesus has already done it all, but I can pray with you and encourage you in that decision and kind of help you make those next few steps. If you want to come down this aisle, totally get it. You can take that communication card that's in your bulletin, fill it out, say, I want to know more about becoming a Christian. Check it, put some contact information. We'll get a hold of you. We want to talk to you about it because that's important. That's an important decision. Or if you don't want to come down this aisle, totally get it. And you don't want to wait until later in this week because it's important, you can come find us on the porch of the ministry center. All the staff will be there after church. Last week, Timothy came and found us and said, hey, I want to talk about being a Christian. And we met this week, and Timothy's in. Timothy's good to go. We're going to be baptizing him in a few weeks, and so we're excited about that. But if you don't want to wait, come next door. We'll wait and talk with you. But don't leave this place, don't leave this community, without finding out why this community exists, and that's the love of Christ. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank You for who You are, and I thank You that You are good, and I thank You that Your love never changes. I thank You that You have blessed me and everyone in this room with a great church, a church that's following after You. I ask, Father, that we would seek to be like the primitive church, like the first century church that spent time together, that loved each other, that cared for each other, and because of their love for each other and their love for You, amazing things happened, and people were coming to Christ daily. We want that here. Help us to do that. Open doors for us, open opportunities for us, so that we would enter into more and more community, not that we would retreat onto our own strength, Father. For anybody here who doesn't know You, but wants to, give them the strength and the courage to not back down, not to wait, but to press forward, to come to You, to give everything they have, and exchange it to be Your son or Your daughter, to enter into a relationship with You, to receive Your love and to experience it fully. I thank You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said,